Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
A campaign is being launched today asking people who own unoccupied properties to offer them as temporary homes for those fleeing the war in Ukraine. On Morning Ireland earlier, Minister for Integration Roderick O'Gorman said the government wants to grow the amount of accommodation it can provide through the unoccupied homes call. But, he said, the repurposing of buildings around the country must also continue. This, of course, comes after protests in East Wall in Dublin, where some residents have raised concerns over a former ESB building being converted into accommodation for people seeking international protection. And there have been a number of protests and public meetings in other parts of the country too. Daniel McConnell is political editor with the Irish Examiner, and he joins me on the line now. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Now, this new campaign asking people to offer their unoccupied homes to refugees from Ukraine, is there any other resource element to this plan beyond just asking for the homes?
Well, I suppose it's a significant change from what we've seen previously, where the earlier scheme was sort of headed up by the Red Cross at arm's length, essentially, from central government. And ultimately, that was a process I think we all know wasn't really fit for purpose. You know, there were huge delays in people getting called back, you know, when pledges were made, and I think there was delays. And I think of a lack of coherence, generally speaking, in terms of how the plan had been run. The idea of, I suppose, doing it in through the local authorities is that essentially they will do it, they'll be more responsive to local calls, etc. like that, and essentially that there will be the resource there in terms of personnel there, you know, trained civil servants etc. like that, who are able to administrate the scheme much more effectively. And as Mr. O'Gorman said on radio this morning, you know, there will be this portal, and you'll be able to track your pledge essentially, you know, so you'll know exactly where in the pipeline your pledge is. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, we keep hearing this narrative that Ireland is full, and we've obviously seen pressures on the system in terms of the hotel system in recent weeks and months. But, like, I mean, there are 66,000 holiday homes across the country. That's the latest figure from the CSO from August of this year. We know there's roughly about 90,000 vacant units across the country. So there is plenty of capacity there to be tapped into. But I suppose the state's response to date has been somewhat fallen short quite substantially in various places. But I think the hope now that this new scheme, I suppose with the added incentive that, you know, that the pledge money has gone from €400 to €800 a month, mm-hmm. They're hoping that that'll be a sufficient enough incentive to get people involved.
I mentioned the protests there, and Minister O'Gorman referred to these this morning. He was asked about them. Now, there are increasing tensions over how many people are coming, where people seeking asylum are being accommodated. What did he say about future plans on this?
Yeah, so I mean, this is the horn of the dilemma that the government finds itself on, really, like, in terms of, you know, you can't essentially give local communities a veto. And this is, you know, echoed and commented on by the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, yesterday, that essentially you can't give local communities a veto on bringing people in, that they'll have to be housed in communities all over the country. But there needs to be, I think there is a recognition that there will have to be a much greater deal of consultation. And it was interesting, you know, you've seen your cabinet ministers admitting that, you know, money is not the problem here. You know, in times gone by, it would have been a money issue in terms of dealing with such an influx of people. Money is now not the problem. It is that social cohesion. It is that kind of knitting in or integrating these people into Irish society, and, you know, allowing them bed into communities, etc. like that. And the state's record in handling such delicate issues is less than stellar, to be frank. And I think there is a genuine concern that the system just isn't fit for purpose when it comes to managing those tensions, you know, giving people a proper level of consultation. And what Roderick O'Gorman again this morning is saying, that, you know, in the future, we've learnt our lessons essentially from the past, and we will do better in the future, but that very much remains to be seen.
So there aren't any new plans that we know of from government on how to deal with this?
Well, they're talking about setting up this migrant agency, or statutory migrant agency, you know, to formalise, because obviously this is not going to be a temporary issue. The idea of your large scale number of people coming into Ireland for seeking refuge is now going to be a perennial problem. And that, I suppose, there is a recognition that you need to put a more robust, a better resourced system in place, because the direct provision system, as we all know it, has been again found wanting time and time again in terms of the length of time it's taken people to get processed. So I think that will be where you'll see a lot more resources go into, and I think there's a great discussion to go on in relation to that, because I think there's also a more fundamental question that, you know, Roderick O'Gorman as Children's and Equalities Minister has too much on his plate at the moment, and ultimately there is a genuine concern that he and his officials are not, I won't say fit for purpose, are not up to the task given the scale of work that is on. And this is a lesson that we clearly haven't learned when Stephen Donnelly during COVID-19, when he had the health service and COVID-19 and vaccinations to run out, he was also given additional duties like hotel quarantining and all the additional stuff that he had to take on, when other ministers, let's be frank, have a much lighter workload, mm-hmm. and could easily have taken up some of that slack.
Because, you know, social cohesion, as you say, that's the horn of the dilemma. Everybody agrees there needs to be consultation, the groups who are protesting, the politicians. But from what you're saying this morning, nobody knows how that should happen.
Well, I think this is such an unprecedented situation that we find ourselves in. And ultimately, the idea of just, I suppose, placing large groups of people in a community and leaving them unsupported is not viable. That there will have to be that sense of, you know, people to hold their hands essentially as people bed into new communities, and also show them where they can get work, show them where they can get, you know, where schools are, etc. like that. And ultimately there is a tension as well, and this has been voiced at various stages in parliamentary party meetings, that, you know, you've essentially created a second direct provision system for people coming in from Ukraine, but they've been allowed to essentially skip the queue because of, you know, they've gotten their medical cards, they have the access to work and all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, that is in itself leading to tensions. And also, you know, on top of an existing or pre-existing housing crisis here, just putting pressure on not only hotels, but on other accommodation within the system. So it's a very complicated, very delicate balance that the government will really have to manage very, very carefully. And as I said, the state's response to these very delicate social issues in the past has not been a good one. We've tended to use very blunt instruments, and the face of the state has been somewhat cold to those people most in need.
Okay, just going back to what you were saying about the scope of Roderick O'Gorman's department to deal with this and all of the other issues that he has on his plate too. Is there any expectation of government reorganising how departments are operating? We have a reshuffle, we know, coming up on the 17th of December.
I think it's quite likely that you might see some reallocation of some of Roderick O'Gorman's department to other ministries. In the main, what we've been told is that the Green ministries will stay unaffected by the reshuffle, that essentially this is a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil changeover, and in terms of people and personnel changing around. However, I think there is a growing sense that, you know, the lessons of COVID need to be learned, and that some other minister could certainly help and pick up the slack in terms of helping Roderick O'Gorman. Because it's not just the minister, to be fair, it's the officials and the support structure that goes behind that. And that certainly would need to be a kind of a reallocation of some resources, if not to another cabinet minister, then maybe to a super junior or something like that. But that's certainly in the mix, I get the sense of, at the moment.
What's the level of concern around the protests that we have seen most recently in East Wall in Dublin? What are you hearing from politicians?
Yeah, so you're hearing a mixed view. So you're hearing people like Gary Gannon, the local TD, and it's not too far from where I live, Clare, so I'm quite au fait with the sort of issues that, you know, there is kind of extreme elements essentially whipping up this, you know, essentially racist kind of feeling, you know, that we don't want them here, they're not welcome, all that kind of stuff. But there are genuine concerns amongst people in the North Inner City, because again, this is an area where you have a huge concentration of homeless people, people in temporary accommodation, migrants, etc. like that. You know, it's one of probably the most concentrated areas geographic, and it's a very small geographic area, but you've a large concentration of people who desperately need the help of the state. And ultimately what you're seeing is, when you have this lack of consultation, you know, these complicated mix, and there are tensions, there's no doubt about it, but I do definitely get the sense that, you know, there are fringe elements seeking to whip it up, and then there are, you know, the legitimate concerns that have so far gone unaddressed or sufficiently unaddressed to the local community. So that's why I think that meeting between Roderick O'Gorman and Pascal Donoghue with members and representatives of the local community will be very important tomorrow.
And how concerned would you say, how much concern exists politically around this issue?
Oh, it's very, I go back to that comment that a senior cabinet minister made to me in recent days. He said, like, money and, you know, the dealing with this in terms of the capacity and even housing people is not the issue. The issue is social cohesion. The idea of being able to blend and assimilate and integrate these people into Irish society, because there are tensions building. We saw it in Killarney about how that issue was handled. We've seen it in East Wall. We've seen it in other counties where, to be frank, hotels have certainly, you know, said we'll take Ukrainian refugees, but we won't take others. So that in itself has led to tensions. And these are being reflected in different ways and in different connotations across the country. So there is a job of work for government to maybe appoint a czar to appoint some head of person, some person to take control of this and to ensure that those tensions are sufficiently addressed.
All right, Daniel, thank you very much for that. Daniel McConnell there, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Text coming in on this to 51551. Chris in Mayo, before offering new schemes to provide homes for refugees, the government should take up the pledges of spare rooms made in March. He says this is not happening. Another, Ireland has made a noble effort to accommodate Ukrainian and other refugee groups, and rightly so. But there is no shame in saying to the world, when we've reached our limit, it is worse to pretend that we have no limit. And this one, on refugees and the war in Ukraine, I'm getting tired of listening to politicians and others complain. The issue of housing could be solved quickly by the government if there was a genuine will. Take, for example, an empty three-bed, semi-detached house in my estate. It is empty for 3 years. 51551, back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.